Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Carey. And Mike, we've got a lot of sports on the agenda this week. We got the baseball playoffs gearing up and shooting forward. We've got college football, pro football. I got to tell you that I was very disappointed in my Washington State Cougars. Who lost a air-prone game to UCLA in the Rose Bowl last week. They had an undefeated season going at that point in time. The Oklahoma-Texas game was the last one in the Red River battle.
Yeah, Red River shootout.
And now every team seems to be going to a different conference. Big games this week, Oregon and Washington. A huge game between two highly ranked teams up in Seattle. And USC... their defense is taking their act to Notre Dame this week.
And did you see the line on that game? Actually, USC are underdogs on the road going into Notre Dame. So if you're a gambling man, you might want to put some action on that.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that. You have a ranked team that's in the top 10, and you've got an unranked team now who lost two games. The bookies must know something more about it than we do. Pro football, the Rams-Eagles, what a game the Eagles did in terms of controlling this game from the line of scrimmage. Extremely difficult team to beat. How about the Jets' payback for the Broncos? Their assistant coach, who was maligned by their head coach, Sean Payton. They go to Denver and they pull out a victory. That must have been sweet.
And then, of course, you have the Patriots, New England Patriots, getting shut out at home.
Yes.
And the boos were raining down. And there's actually been a lot of talk in Boston sports media, and you know how they are, Ron, that maybe Bill Belichick should...
He's under fire, he's had this close relationship and tremendous success with their owner, Kraft. So who knows how that's going to turn out. And Buffalo decides to go to London to lose to Jacksonville. And so I guess that takes them off the top of the heap again, topsy-turvy here in the NFL. But the 49ers roll Dallas. Man, what a beatdown that was. I'm very proud of the 49ers. I hope that your success continues.
The 49ers look like the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, they do. And I think that the Eagles are right there with them. So it's going to be exciting. I'm anxious to see the Oregon-Washington game this week. And, of course, with USC's defense getting tested by Arizona, leaves a lot to be desired. And I think that may keep them from where they want to go in the end. But big game there with the Fighting Irish. Always look forward to that cross-country rivalry. And I'm not so sure that's going to last either. They're in the Big Ten. But we'll be right back with our guest, Darrell Evans, right after this.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com. Heartburn.com.
Fred Dreyer here, the Heartburn Hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 800-785-9618. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-785-9618 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a 2-night, 3-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 800-785-9618 right now to schedule your tax-deductible vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-785-9618 now.
They still call me the Penguin. Okay, and we're back after the break. We'll see about that. We have a special guest today, Darrell Evans, and our today's guest will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's a proud partner of We'll See About That, the Ron Say Show. Please be sure to use my VIP code, Ron Say, when checking out melissas.com. Our guest today, Darrell Evans, is a local young man from born in Pasadena, went to Muir High School, Pasadena City College, is the owner of 414 home runs, two-time All-Star World Champion with the Detroit Tigers, a man that hit 40 home runs in both leagues, not an accomplishment done by many. So, Darrell, welcome to the show. Glad to have you, and what's going on with you today?
Hey, Ron, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you. Good. It's nice to talk and catch up on our when we used to hate each other and all those kind of things.
So, yeah, at least so-called, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, we had to play along with the game.
Yeah, well, you know? I remember growing up and, you know, the Giants were, you know, you got to hate these guys, you know, they're our nemesis, you know, Bobby Thompson, you know, all the other stuff that went back to Brooklyn and the shot heard around the world. And but I never felt that way. I always felt that, you know, I grew up in the game playing against a lot of guys that you played with Matthews and Maddox, sure, and Spire and many others. And actually, when I was growing up in Tacoma, Washington, I had a chance to watch Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal, Gaylord Perry. Even got to see an exhibition game where my favorite player of all time, Willie Mays, got to play in. So I had a close connection there. But what an interesting career you've had. You were drafted by a number of teams: the Cubs, the Yankees, the Tigers, the Phillies, the A's, and eventually end up signing with the A's.
Yeah, I got lucky. I was first draft. High school, that was the first draft they ever had. So obviously I didn't get to, I had to wait to find out who was going to draft me. And one interesting thing, you remember we played against each other when you were the Cheney Studs?
That's right. In high school.
Mac, I guess
right.
That was.
They called it the AABC bracket of semi-pro baseball. It was the American Amateur Baseball Congress, which was now called, I believe, the Stan Musial Division.
Oh, Stan Musial. Well, that's right. See, you in California, it was called a different thing. So,
yeah. But so we did. We met a couple times.
Yeah, of course, before that. And then, you know, I was fortunate kind of, you know, to come up with the Braves after all that. I didn't get drafted by them, but I ended up with the A's. And I was, you know, I was on those teams in Double A. I wrote room with Raleigh Fingers and Vida Blue and all those great A's teams. And luckily I got Rule 5, actually, because I was a year behind Sal Bando.
Right.
He played 20 years in the big league. So I was fortunate to get drafted or Rule 5 over to the Braves. And I got to play for my idol, Eddie Matthews. You know, you talk about that. Get to do something like that with one of the greatest third basemen of all time and great hitter and all that kind of stuff. So I was there's a bunch of steps that really worked out. And I was 69. Klebor was a third baseman, so I didn't have any illusions I was going to play. But, you know, I ended up waiting for him, and they traded him away a couple years later, and I got my break, got in there. But, you know, that 69 team, too, was also a team that lost to the Miracle Mets in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
That crazy thing that happened.
Yeah.
And here, well, you know, you're a rookie. You know, oh, you're sitting there pinch hitting or whatever and all this stuff, and all of a sudden you're going to get in the playoffs? My gosh. It was so long ago, I kind of don't even remember too much about it. But
understood.
In a great place. And, you know, but even though I was with the Braves, I got to be involved in you playing the Dodgers and a hometown team, you know, and all that stuff. It was hard to get enough tickets, obviously, to come out there and all that. But, you know, who we played, the teams we played. I mean, you know, the Big Red Machine was in our division.
Yes, so,
you know, for me, it was my family was all excited about the rivalry. Much, you know, of course, we were too, but it was just a joy to be part of that. And, you know, as we talked before, you know, you guys took a little bit of abuse in San Francisco, probably more than we did in L.A., the Braves, we had to beat you guys and the Big Red Machine.
Yes.
And that was hard enough. And I got to trade it over the Giants and being part of that. And actually, when we got traded for Vida Blue, and that changed the whole atmosphere, I thought, because we felt like we compete with you guys and anybody else. And you know, we finally got some people to come to the ballpark. You remember at Candlestick when there was 3,000 people there, too. So, that was just, I was lucky to be a part in the middle of that and kind of see the tail end of all those Hall of Famers that were there, too.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Atlanta for a second. You know, you had such a great experience in being able to be tutored by Eddie Matthews, which all basic standards of how you grade third basemans or anybody else in baseball is going to put Eddie Matthews in the top five. And to be tutored by him, you know, and I remember watching the Braves. The Braves, I could name their lineup from 55 when I was 7 years old. And, you know, Aaron was there. And, you know, to be able to hang around with Aaron and Burdette and Spahn and whatever else, these people that were part of their history and tradition, but especially Matthews. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Eddie.
Well, what you said, my favorite teams growing up, the Dodgers and the Giants hadn't come out there until I was like 12 years old.
Right.
So I'd already picked my favorite team, like we grew up and watching the Braves and, you know, they were in the World Series a couple of times and all that stuff. Like you said, that those great lineups and those great players and all that kind of stuff in the late 50s there. So they were my favorite team. And then getting to play, and my favorite player, because I was a third baseman pretty much my whole life growing up too, left-handed hitter. And then I found out Eddie Matthews was from Santa Barbara. So there was so many things that, it's like, well, hey, you know, I had all the baseball cards, and it was like, oh, man, I wish I could, you know, if I ever get to make it, you know, we all dream about that. He's the guy. And when I got over to the Braves, he was the hitting coach, and they became the manager. And he had just retired. He was a 68. He was on the 68 World Champion Tigers. So when he retired, he became big league coach, and he was, I think he was 39 or whatever. So he was all excited. You know, he was like he embraced that role because, you know, like you said, he was so well thought of, probably not just because of a great player, because he was a big leader and stuff. And, you know, then I find out, you know, him and Hank were so close. And, you know, Hank kind of, well, you know, Eddie was kind of taking care of Hank in ways of, you know, hitting behind or hitting in front of him, behind him, all those kind of things, and being best buddies. So it was just all of a sudden, I go to spring training, never met the guy before. I'm sitting there, and there's four other Hall of Famers on that team back then, and sitting there and wondering what's going to happen. And as soon as they came out of that first meeting in spring training, he came right over to me and said, "Hey, kid, I heard stuff about you. You're with me from now on." I mean, so before the game, after the game, you know, he threw BP to me all the time back down in there. You know, so much respect for the guy. You know, I was like, "Yes, sir, no, sir." He goes, "Don't you ever call me sir again." So, you know, one of those guys that wanted to be part of helping other people. And that was kind of the, I think we all know, that's what they all, you know, they were passing along their expertise from the people that they had learned from. And that was their number one goal. And then being a coach, again, more time to take me out there early and hit bullets at me at third base.
Yeah, I remember those days. Lasorda used to do that to us, too. And, you know, I have a story to tell you also. You had Matthews and I had Santo. And I'm going to get more to that in the next segment because we got to take a break here in about 20 seconds. So, but I do want to continue with that, and I want to know more about your time in San Francisco and your revival coming in Detroit, too. So we're going to be back with Darrell Evans here right after this message on We'll See About That.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hi, I'm Ron Say, and I would like to make a special announcement for something I'm absolutely thrilled about, which is the official launch of my website that is available as of today. You can listen to episodes of our podcast, subscribe to our podcast, sign up for our newsletter, shop our online store, view up-and-coming events, book events, sponsor and advertise on our show, and more. Just go to theronsayshow.com. That's theronsayshow.com, and we'll see you there. Hello, Ron Say. And we're back with Darrell Evans. And Darrell, I'm going to continue with where we left off. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Tacoma, Washington. Our AAA franchise was the San Francisco Giants, which were the Tacoma Giants. And up in Seattle, there was a guy by the name of Ron Santo who was making his way with the Chicago Cubs in the early years. And I was compared with Ron Santo. And so the comparisons are pretty substantial. If you were to interchange our statistics for a 102-game season, you take away the names, they're interchangeable. And so I had this great relationship with Santo. I got to play my first game in Chicago and have a picture taken with him when I was the State of Washington's Minor League Player of the Year up in Seattle. There was a big banquet, so Ron Santo, ironically, was the one who presented me with the award. So there's lots of good karma there. And of course, he was the radio broadcaster with the Cubs when I went over there to Chicago. So I know what that relationship meant to me, and I'm pretty sure it meant the same to you.
Well, yeah, you know, third baseman, man, you know how we are. That nobody, you know, nobody thinks of us. Probably, you know, we play the hardest position. We have to do the most things. And it's all about offense. And like you said, you know, I mean, your stats and his are identical. People all know that and everything else. And it's amazing that you said that about the same way, you know, Matthew did for me. You know, hit those balls off of me and had bruises all over me and all that kind of stuff. And finally, after all, he goes, "Hey, listen." He goes, "Don't." He goes, "You know, you gotta try to catch one over once in a while."
Yeah, well, it sort of made me run a lap.
"Hey, don't worry about it. Girls like bruises."
Yeah.
So, sure. You know, the stuff like that. And you know, he hit me those bullets and stuff. And, of course, when you're young, you catch the ball, you know, you try to throw it over there as fast as you can. And he goes, "Hey, time out. You don't have to throw them out before they leave the batter's box."
Yeah.
So, you know, and so many of those little things that we didn't kind of realize were going on. So, you know, he was always there. He was my and later became – my parents used to go to a lot of games and all that kind of stuff. And him and – my dad got to be friends. It was just a dream come true for me, and he was always there for me. And, you know, it was like nobody else could really, if I got some unfair criticism or anything, he was always, you know, "Hey, you don't listen to those people. They don't know what they're talking about." So, and like you said, you were supposed to be the next Ron Santo. Well, when Dusty Baker and I got there, we were supposed to be the new Eddie Matthews and Hank Aaron.
Oh, well, so, that's a nice comparison.
We had all that.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of Hank, you know, and I got to share a special moment back in 1974 when Henry breaks Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. We were there to that night, and it was an absolute thrill. The most historic game I ever played in professionally. And Henry was such a gracious guy. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Henry.
Well, that was the thing, too. See, he was another one of those guys that he was an older player, obviously. But, you know, he wasn't losing anything. You know, it was like, you know, we'd come up and go, "Oh, somebody of 30 years old, man, he's an old man," and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to. That wasn't the case at all. To me, he was the best player. I kind of kidded him after a while. I mean, we locked two lockers away so I could talk to him all the time. He wanted to talk about any. Of course, Eddie was much more outgoing. Hank was more kind of laid back kind of deal. But until you see that, and then, you know, we called him Soup for Superman, Superstar, because every time something needed to be done, remember, they didn't even know about him. They didn't even talk about him. until he got 700 home runs. Then all of a sudden, all the press was around, everything else. He hit 713 the last day of 73. And I think he did it on purpose so that the whole winter was wondering. And then opening day in Cincinnati, we're open in Cincinnati in 74 there, and he hits a home run opening day to tie. And, and then Eddie, we had a two-game series. Eddie wasn't going to play him because we had, like, I think 12 games in Atlanta. He wanted to break the record there. And, you know, the commissioner came in and tried to tell him, no, you got to play him and all that kind of stuff. We didn't hit the home run until he got home. And then, like you said, we got to be part of that big situation. And the scary part for me was I was hit third. You know, I was hit third in front of him all the time. So as he got closer, you know, it was like, hey, there was a lot of pressure getting on base. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, what? How cool would that be? Who else could say that? And yeah. I ended up being on base. And, you know, that, like you said, that day was such a magical, and we didn't know how to kind of handle it in a way. And thank God Eddie was around because he kept the press, or at least, you know, hey, listen, leave him alone. And I think Hank was the guy that was picked to do that. And like you alluded to, there wasn't anybody else that I know that could have handled all the press and everything else and still accomplish what. So, you know, 755, if you look back on it, you know, he's averaged 39 home runs for 20 years. So it was like when you sat there and watched him and went, oh, my gosh, this guy, it's like it seemed like they never got him out. And it didn't matter what they did. And they respected him so much. And one of the things he taught me is like, hey, I scare the pitchers. You know, I'm intimidating to the pitchers. And I'm going to take advantage of that. They're going to make mistakes because they're trying too hard. And, you know, so he was just that mentor, man, that you just kept. I mean, it was, of course, I got to watch him all the time. But, you know, and then be a part of this record. And back then, well, we remember back then, that was the biggest record or thing in the United States and maybe the world. You know, he was breaking Babe Ruth's record. Babe Ruth was an icon for everything. And then all of a sudden this guy comes along and everybody was like, oh, Willie Mays might do it, Mickey Mantle might do it, all these guys. And it was Hank Aaron. And it was such a thrill. I mean, just, he's such a great person off the field too, and so humble. And, you know, it's a machine. He is consistent all the time. And I tell people, I go, remember, he won two batting titles. He won two stolen base titles. He won, I don't know how many gold gloves, which he didn't, you know, think about him that way. But he was such a great, the best, as good a base runner as I've ever seen. Not flashy like Willie. So he never got that. But it was this, you know, I was around the best player of all time, maybe. But I kind of, afterwards, and got to see him, you know, when we were done and all that kind of kid him and go, well, maybe not the best because, you know, Babe Ruth won 100 games pitching too. So
yeah, that's why we've got Shohei Ohtani now.
Yeah, but hey, is he going to play long enough?
So, no, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's going to play long enough anymore these days because they, honestly, they make so much money. I think at some point in time, you know, it softens you up a bit. You know, there's no need to.
Well, how did we play so long, Ron?
Well,
now, how did we play? They don't ask me. I played 21 years. You know, I was never on a disabled list.
Yeah.
That was luck, you know, whatever. Yes.
Yeah,
that
sure,
kind of, stuff,
of course. But you took care of yourself, too.
But they, yeah, well, of course. And they don't ask us. You know, people ask me sometimes off the cuff, and I go, it's because they, like you said, they're so intense. I got my rest. Not all the time, but most of the time, because my body needed to be, you know, play. We got to play, you know, for 18 hours later.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
the game
I
is,
learned how to do that, how to get myself. I didn't overextend myself. I didn't go and lift weights after the game and all the stupid stuff that they do now. And then they can't figure out why guys get hurt. It's disillusioning. And it's a shame that that is. So, like you said, are we going to ever have a 200-win pitcher again? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, not 300.
Close
yeah.
to all those other records that Hank and everybody else set? Of course not.
Yeah. Well, you'd think that nowadays with the amount of great first-class travel, private jets, they're staying in suites. They aren't driving on the bus. They have the nutritionists. They have the cooks. They have the personal trainers. You'd think they get hurt less now than not more.
Well, it's
but you know what? Just because they have all that stuff, that doesn't mean it works.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember, we hardly had any food in the clubhouse. We had crackers and peanut butter and honey, I think, and some other soft drinks, but that was about it. But, how the times have changed. The clubhouses, I remember when I finally had a taste of the American League at the end of my career, going into the visiting clubhouses in Detroit and Baltimore, Cleveland, Chicago, they were just absolutely pathetic. And I thought we had better minor league facilities than at least in the clubhouse. But we have plenty still to talk about. We're going to be back here in a couple of minutes and talk more with Darrell Evans. And we're going to talk a little bit about your time in San Francisco and your time in Detroit with Sparky Anderson. And we're going to be back with Darrell Evans when we return. Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's Fresh Produce Box delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY for the freshest game day fuel around.
There's a whole lot of savings going on now at Staples. During Staples Sit-A-Thon, you can save up to $150 on select office and desk chairs. And when you buy a chair, you save 25% on desks, storage solutions, and office accessories. Plus, your local Staples now accepts Amazon returns. And when you return an Amazon order at Staples, you receive a coupon for $10 off your next $30 Staples purchase. Now is definitely the time to save at Staples. Chair offer ends 10/28, in-store only. Exclusions apply on Amazon offer.
Want even more excitement on game day? It's time to get on Prize Picks, the best way to win big on fantasy sports. Here's how it works. Just pick 2 to 6 players and choose more or less on their stats. If you get them right, you can win up to 25 times your cash. It's quick and easy to make your picks, and with fast and safe deposits and withdrawals, Prize Picks is the place to play this season. Prize Picks has awesome weekly promotions, and they're the only daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, keeping you in the game even if one of your players goes down. Sweat it out, watch your entry update in real time, and continue the fun by making picks on second half and fourth quarter stats. Take your game day experience to the next level with Prize Picks. And right now, when you go to prizepicks.com/byline and use code byline, Prize Picks is matching your first deposit up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/byline with code byline for a 100% deposit match. Prize Picks. Daily fantasy sports made easy.
Enjoy an ice-cold Coke from Burger King while supporting your community. Coca-Cola is a proud supporter of the Burger King Foundation, which has granted over $60 million in scholarships to over 55,000 scholars, creating brighter futures and positive change in the lives of children and families through education. Now through the end of November, join Burger King in raising funds for the Burger King Foundation's education initiatives and enjoy 3 delicious menu items for just $1. Visit a participating Burger King restaurant and purchase 3 coupons for $1 to help positively impact your community. Each coupon gets you your choice of a free small soft drink or coffee, free small fries or hash browns, and a free small soft serve. All funds raised stay local, right in your zip code. Burger King Foundation scholarships are open to team members and community members, and your dollar makes a difference. So go ahead and have it your way, and know that you're also giving back to your community. Visit your local participating restaurant or www.burgerkingfoundation.org for more information.
Yo, J Balvin here. Verizon just hooked me up with a new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium. How can you get one? By switching to my plan at your Verizon store, get the amazing new iPhone 15 Pro on them. When you trade in any iPhone, any model, any condition, guaranteed. And listen to my new song, Dientes, on your way to get the new iPhone 15 Pro.
Don't miss out. Switch to my plan from Verizon today. It's your Verizon. $999.99, 128GB only. Device payment purchase or full retail purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate plan required. Less $1,000 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. Promo credit ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. 0% APR.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Grand slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's a high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 1949. Vin Scully worked his first broadcast ever, doing the play-by-play when Maryland defeats Boston University at Fenway Park, 14-13. The football assignment marks the start of a 67-year career in the broadcast booth for the Hall of Fame baseball announcer, who became, of course, the iconic voice of the Dodgers.
What a career. And, you know, he did so many other things, too. You know, he did golf for a while.
Yeah, the Masters.
And, the Masters. Yeah, he did it all.
College football.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
What a career.
Can't imagine doing anything for 67 years.
100%. Can I ask Daryl real fast, as a fellow Pasadena City College alumni, how's it feel to be the second best baseball player to come out of PCC after Jackie Robinson?
Yeah, but see, I'm not. See, I can't. You know, I kid people all the time. I can't even get a field name after me, Brad. You know, I played twice as long as he did. You know, and so my family, my mom and dad, went to Muir, when it was called Muir Tech High School, I think it was, and with Jackie. So they knew, and you know, it was we lived I don't know, 3 or 4 miles away from his family and everybody, and I know them still, you know, and Rachel and all, you know, because I was from Pasadena, and so I got to be around that. Of course, Jackie, you know, passed away quite a while ago, but, you know, I was part of that family growing up too, and, you know, it was like, oh, heck, oh, yeah, and then, you know, so I get kidding, like you said, about, yeah, being the second, well, that's pretty good, number two's pretty good too, but, you know, I won state championship at PCC, Pasadena City College, in basketball and baseball. I got to play for Jerry Tarkanian, state champion basketball team. So that, you know, growing up there, I guess, Mike, you did too. So the great athletes that came out of there, I think that made it so much better because the competition was so top-notch all the time. So, you know, it's 6-7 guys sign all the time in baseball. We had great, great athletes in all the sports. And then the legacy of the Robinsons. And, you know, Mac, Jackie's brother, Mac, was second to Jesse Owens in the Olympics. So that whole family, you know, you might as well join him and not fight him. So, yeah, it's a legacy. And, of course, everybody knows. And it's like, where are you from? From Pasadena. The home of Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, well, it's not so bad being second.
Yeah, no, heck no. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You know, you spent 8 years with the Giants, and you now become, you know, you get traded to the Detroit Tigers, and there's a little bit of a glitch in that. But you with your owner, is that where collusion came in? A little bit.
Yeah, I was a part of collusion for 4, actually, and that was the middle of that. And actually, I was a free agent after 83 with the Giants, and I had been a free agent 5 years before, re-signed with them, and then they didn't even offer me a contract. You know, I had 30 home runs, and, you know, they whatever, had a good year, 90, whatever, but they never offered me a contract because they thought I was 37. They didn't want to pay me anything, so they never even offered me a contract. But, of course, they told the press all that and everything, and so then it was like the campaign was back then, of course, for the collusion. Well, hey, if we don't want him, then you don't take him because he's going to have to come back and play for us. And but yeah. Then that was the first year of a free agent draft. I mean, talk about an oxymoron or what a devious way for them to keep people the way they wanted us to be.
Right.
So, and then that was a big thing, like, oh, nobody's going to want him. He's 37. And then they put it out there. Oh, he wants a 3-year, 5-year contract and all that kind of stuff. So they try to keep that. But the free agent draft came out, and I got drafted by 17 teams. So I guess they didn't agree, but actually, in actuality, only 3 teams made me an offer. And that was the Dodgers, because Garvey was going to San Diego. So they, you know, first base was open. My hometown team, the first day they came out and gave me a 2-year deal. And I said, no, hey, I got to have a 3-year deal. And if you do that, from Panis, hey, we'll sign with it. They never came back with a 3-year deal. And the Yankees, Steinbrenner, same thing. But I told him, hey, I'm going to American League. I'm not going to be a DH, because as soon as you become DH, you're going to be old. And they got an excuse to get rid of you, not play and all that kind of stuff. And I was, you know, like both of us, we play 160 games and all that kind of stuff. So that didn't work out. And then the Tigers come out of kind of nowhere with a 3-year deal and never moved off of that. And after, it was a pretty fair deal. I mean, obviously look back now and it should have been more money. But at the time it was like, yeah, so I had no choice. And it worked out perfectly, because I had talked to some of those guys on those teams, Trammell and Parrish and Larry Herndon, who had been a teammate in San Francisco, right, and how great Detroit was. Well, of course, when you grow up, we grew up, even now, we don't think Detroit's too great of a place to be. But in reality, it's not the case. And the fans are great there. You know, it's Motown. It's, you know, it's hockey town. It's the fans are great. So they told me and said, hey, man, and they needed a first baseman. They needed a power left-handed guy, and it fit perfect. And, I look back and I go, man, I would have played for the Yankees, and, you know, I could play for my hometown Dodgers, or, you know, for my family. Of course, they were all rooting for that. But, I look back and go, hey, it was the right place to go.
Well, you know, you got to go and play for a team that was, one of the better teams now emerging in the American League. You end up in 84 winning a world championship. You had some of your better years down the stretch, actually. You hit 40 home runs at 38, right? And that was, not something that, most people do at that age. And, I missed playing for the Cubs, so we were kind of hoping that we would match up. I thought we were a better matchup for you in 84 than San Diego, but it didn't play out that way. But it seems as if you got things straightened away, and then you got to go back and end your career with where you started, in Atlanta.
Yeah, so many wonderful things happened there. And, I ended up with 5 years with the Tigers, and after my first year, we won the world. We had that great 35-5 start. Right. It all started every position. There was a young, pretty young guys that were just coming into their prime. I mean, my gosh, we had great, the Dodger teams you played on, and it was a relentless place, and all these guys were hungry, and I just fit in there.
Yeah.
But after the end of the year, it's like the owner came out and went, he only had 16 home runs, and so we got, he was the only guy that didn't do what he's supposed to, so they actually tried to trade me to the Yankees, and there was apparently a deal that was, I guess, kind of almost made. The guys that they were to trade me for, one of them got hurt, so the deal didn't go through, and that was the year I hit 40.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, and I would have been the first home run champion for the Yankees with Roger Maris.
Wow.
So you look back, and plus, that right field fence.
Yeah, it's
compared
intriguing.
To Tiger Stadium, there was no comparison. It was just like stand up there and hook.
Yeah,
but when I went to Detroit the first year, one of the things, and you probably remember, I'm going to a new league, don't know the pitchers, don't know the catchers, don't know how they're going to pitch me, don't know what they're going to try to do and all that kind of stuff. And plus, when I got to Detroit and that nice right field wall was up there, of course, but it was 440 feet to center.
Yes, it was.
you know, you couldn't, I mean, you weren't getting any of those five or six or seven or eight home runs you got the center field there. So I tried to pull too much, I think. You know, I look back and it's like, I tried to hook too much and that wasn't working. And I was trying to learn, of course. And then Sparky promised me I was going to play every day. I was like, I'm going to rest you. You know, we'll give you a rest. And I was like, what the heck? You know, I tried to tell him, of course. Hey, the reason why we're good is because we play every day. Oh, hey, well, if we don't play, we're not going to get better the next day because you think we need rest. So I had my little ups and downs there, and I didn't get as many at-bats. And then in 85, you know, we won the World Series. Oh, my gosh, you've done it. I mean, the people, what was the best part? The best part was the parade. The best part was the fun. You know, you're watching the playoffs now. That's what I love. You know, I don't watch too many games during the year, but watching the playoffs, because just the atmosphere, it brings back those awesome, awesome times and all
absolutely.
That kind of stuff. And so I didn't get too many opportunities. You know, I'd been in the World Series. I mean, I've been in playoffs for 15 years from my rookie league till then.
Yeah.
But the players thought I had. So, I had to fake that too, and the press and everything else.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? I learned more about, I could be patient because I was in a great lineup, and I had, I had Whitaker and Trammell
right
ahead of me.
Right.
So it was like they're on base all the time. Yeah. And so it was like I was getting fastballs, and, then it was like, oh, well, he can't hit fastballs. And then it's like, okay, yeah, we'll try it again, because I had learned from Hank.
Yeah.
The older you get, they're going to try to throw, they think you can't catch with a fastball anymore. And as long as you're healthy, that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, you kind of see the handwriting on the wall. You know, it's there when you get to, when you can't do some of the things that you used to be able to pretty easily. It kind of steps up and rears its ugly head and kind of sets you in motion for it's about time to hang it up.
Well, yeah, but what you learn how to cheat. Oh, yeah, not cheat, but, you learn how to anticipate and spell out more and all that kind of stuff. And plus, I learned the catchers and how they were going to, three-game series, four-game series. This Booney sitting back there trying to jam me the first time. If they jammed me the first time up, it's like, okay, well, they're going to try to jam me the second time. And, that was what I got learned from Hank and Eddie and all those. Hey, you got them. Let them throw it into your trap. Don't miss it.
Yeah, you got to trap them for sure. Listen, I want to jump over here to the today's baseball for a second. We've only got a couple minutes left in the segment, but how do you like all the rule changes? What about the umpires this year, the robots, for me, I'm ready for the robots, I think, behind home plate. I really am.
It's but we couldn't argue with the robots, man. All the stuff they've changed. For what? And, it's like, oh, whether it's successful, the shorter and stuff. I just thought, hey, man, when I go to a concert, I don't want the game shorter. I don't want the concert shorter. I want it longer. And in baseball, because we play every day and we appreciate that, and we know that's what the beauty of baseball is, both teams get the same amount of time. The time, the clock doesn't have anything to do with, but other people made it like such a big deal, when in reality, we're still watching it now. The pitcher's got to hurry. They only pitch, one hitter, three hitters, and all that stuff. And I don't know, did you ever need a bigger bases? Did you ever miss a base?
Well, no, I think what's happened is, and we've got less than a minute now before we got to close things up, but the bigger bases, I think, brought old school baseball back. This game is a strikeout home run game today. They weren't stealing many bases. They've manipulated this game, I think, a little bit too much. Look what the Braves, Ronald Acuna, 70 some bases here. What an unbelievable year this guy had. But I wish we had more time, Daryl, but I just want to thank you so much for being our special guest. It's been terrific having you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we shall see you next time.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone. And AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them. And it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently? And now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
And we are back. Fine. We'll see about that. Once again, thank you so much to Daryl Evans, fellow Pasadena native. And I just want to, real fast, Ron, ask you, don't want to put you on the hot seat here, but Clayton Kershaw, his game one performance, what did you think about that?
Oh, boy.
Will he have to leave town now? Do you think, will this soil his legacy?
I don't think it will. He's accomplished so much in the regular season for so many years. He's probably the highest ranked Dodger now by WAR significantly. His postseason play doesn't match up as well, not even remotely as well. I think he's 500 in the postseason. It's unfortunate at this point in time that, you know, he has to be the horse, okay? Obviously, we know what's gone on during the course of the season that preempted other people to be in those positions, and he couldn't get anything done. I mean, it's his worst performance all time, any game in regular season or postseason.
Yeah. I generally felt bad for the gentleman.
You can't help but feel bad for that person. It's just like the game the other night when Arizona, the kid that was pitching with what's been going on with Israel.
Yeah.
It was the Israeli pitcher, and he gave up six or seven runs.
Yeah.
I really felt bad about that. Here's a kid that's got his parents and his family back in Israel going through all that horror. and he's got to try to come up with a game. It's his first postseason start. Didn't work well, but hopefully he will recover and be able to come back after that. But Kershaw is winding down on a brilliant career. And there's just a lot of things that aren't working so well over there right now. And I'm not so sure they can recover. Look at what happened in the first part of the playoffs. The possibly the best division in baseball, the American League East. All their teams went 0-7. They did not win a game. So the Baltimore Orioles, 100-game winner, they're gone. So it looks like it could be Texas, who knows, in the American League. But hopefully you guys will have a great weekend. Join us next week for We'll See About That.